Welcome to the Government Contracts Legal Roundup, a podcast focusing on important developments facing government contractors and grant recipients. This podcast is put on by the Jenner & Block Government Contracts Practice Group. I'm David Robbins, co-chair of the group, and it's my pleasure to continue to host this podcast. We're going to start with a Federal Circuit case, Percipient AI. We've been covering this case, which is a bid protest, and it has sparked significant litigation over the scope of Court of Federal Claims bid protest jurisdiction. The protest argues that the National Geospatial Intelligence Agency failed to satisfy its obligations under the Federal Acquisition Streamlining Act when deciding to develop software under a task order vehicle rather than acquire an existing commercial solution. COFC initially found that the protest was timely and justiciable, but later reversed course and dismissed the protest as precluded under the FASA task order protest bar. Percipient AI sought expedited appeal proceedings at the Federal Circuit. The court permitted Percipient AI to expedite its own briefing and assured the case would be scheduled for argument relatively soon after briefing is complete, but the court declined to accelerate the deadline for the response briefs. Percipient AI filed its opening brief, arguing that the protest is not barred by FASA, but rather seeks to hold the agency accountable to FASA. Based on their responses in opposition to the motion for expedited briefing, the government and intervener appear poised to defend COFC's holding and raise alternative arguments for dismissing the protest, like they intend to re-raise the standing and timeliness challenges that COFC previously rejected. The Percipient AI protest raises important and interesting substantive questions about the scope of an agency's obligations under FASA. These issues go to the heart of how agencies can use the now ubiquitous umbrella contract vehicles like IDIQs, GWACs, and MACs. But the posture of the protest may mean that the procedural issues like jurisdiction, blue and gold, and interested party status prevent the Court of Federal Claims from ever reaching the substantive issues. Either way, there's a lot for contractors, procuring agencies, and their counsel to learn from this litigation as it works its way through the Federal Circuit, and we will continue to keep you posted. Moving to GAO, earlier this month, GAO denied a protest challenging agency's failure to conduct a price realism evaluation because the terms of the solicitation did not require the agency to conduct such an assessment. In this competition valued in excess of $1 billion, the Department of the Treasury issued a solicitation to establish blanket purchase agreements for IT and cloud solutions. One protester alleged that the solicitation required a price realism evaluation and that the awardee's proposal, which was more than $140 million less than the protesters, contained risk that was unaccounted for by the agency. GAO disagreed, finding that the solicitation's language was permissive, not mandatory. GAO focused on the lack of an express price realism evaluation criterion, as well as the overall structure of the solicitation, to conclude that the agency reserved the right to conduct a price realism evaluation, but did not commit itself to doing so. In a fixed-price environment, procuring agencies do not necessarily have to conduct a price realism evaluation because the risk of loss is on the contractor, not on the government, but may include such a provision when the agency is concerned that its requirements may not be fully understood by offerors, where, as here though, a solicitation merely reserves the agency's right to conduct a price realism evaluation, such an assessment remains at the agency's discretion. And in another decision, I guess BOF, GA, Lennox Park LLC, which, you know, I hope I'm saying normally and correctly, but you never know, at least I've told you which letters are in the title. GAO sustained a protest where an agency unreasonably evaluated the awardee's proposal as complying with material terms of the solicitation. On behalf of the Drug Enforcement Agency, the General Services Administration issued a request for lease proposals for the provision of commercial office space in the Atlanta, Georgia area. The RLP, Request for Lease Proposals, RLP, contained certain public transportation requirements, including that a subway, light rail, or a bus rapid transit stop shall be located within the immediate vicinity of the building offered. The protest alleged that the awardee should have been evaluated as technically unacceptable because its proposed property did not meet a material RLP requirement for proximity to public transportation options, including, as relevant here, a bus rapid transit stop. Instead, the awardee was only located within the vicinity of a traditional, standard bus stop. In response, GSA argued that bus rapid transit did not refer to any specific type of bus transit system, and the protester's definition was too restrictive. GAO agreed with the protester, finding that the RLP included a specific term, which was provided at the direction of a GSA lease alert and regularly used in all GSA leases, intended to require proximity to a particular type of transit service. GSA therefore improperly evaluated the Orty's proposal on this basis. GAO also found prejudice because the protester stated that it considered purchasing the property offered subsequently by the Orty, but had discounted it because of the lack of proximity to rapid transit required by the RLP. That was sufficient for showing a reasonable possibility of prejudice. This decision reinforces that GAO will scrutinize solicitations when deciding protest grounds challenging the waiver or relaxation of requirements. To win such protests, however, it is critical for protesters to identify how the waiver or relaxation affected their substantial chance of receiving the award. And now we're going to end with what I was going to call a human interest story, but it's not that. It's really an extraterrestrial interest story. Earlier this month, I read reports about proposed legislation mandating that government contractors turn over possible extraterrestrial material, which leads me to react, WTF? Which, you know, the kids tell me mean, wow, that's fantastic, right? The idea is to force contractors to turn over any, and get this, non-Earth origin material that intelligence officials have presumably concealed from Congress. And turning that material over would help those who disclose avoid civil or criminal action. Okay, but what about protection from alien retribution? That's not covered in the bill. With that, we're going to close this mostly serious and somewhat tongue-in-cheek podcast edition. Thank you for joining us for the Government Contracts Legal Roundup. If you have any questions or need more information about anything here, I can be reached at 202-639-6040 or drobbins@jenner.com.